This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. Episode 59 of the True Voice Media Podcast is actually a re-recording of... No, it's not a re-recording. It is a brand new recording, even better than the first attempt, with Dean Delisle. So I have Dean here.
Woo-hoo!
Yes.
Dean coming at me with the woo-hoo with all 100 megs of speed. Dean, tell everybody that's listening all about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm founder and CEO of Forward Progress. We're digital marketing here out of Chicago. Been around going on our 13th year. Wow, now I feel old. It's only my 10th company and it's 13 years old. That means I have to be some sort of senior level.
I think that means you're 130 years old.
Yes, in internet years, though. Yeah. It's just, you know, not dog years, but internet years. And so we do a lot of digital marketing. It's cool. It's a playground, you know, as you know, everything changes constantly. And that's what we get excited about. It's like, you know, nobody can know anything and everything. So we get excited about, we even learn from our clients. We had a client in here today that was telling us about some things we didn't know. And so it's just a rush, man, to be in the digital marketing space today because there's so much cool stuff going on. And we have methodologies by which we roll things out and crank companies up and convert and generate leads and ROI. But our big aha is the last, you know, we've always been around coaching and training with, you know, in all my digital years of doing business. And our big platform is Social Jack, which is all about sort of how you and I met, Jeff. It's about social teaming. It's about the essence of the people that we have around us that help us get to wherever we want to go. So whether we're building community, we're generating sales, like in social selling, we're furthering our career. In some cases, just creating a better life for ourselves. It's all about the people that are around us and who we choose to interact with. And so we built Social Jack about 5 years ago. In the last 2 years, it's really matured and taken off. We have mobile apps coming out, and we're really kicking butt in the social selling space. We're in universities with the social career aspect. And we're just excited because, again, nothing is the same. Everything's changing, and it just is a rush to go, all right, man, we got another 100 students coming in. We got this group coming in. And you know what? We got to update the curriculum because LinkedIn just made this change. And we got to make sure that things are fresh and new. And, you know, and it's just, it's, I don't even know how to explain it, man. It's just, I love what I do, if you can tell.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, Dean, it's so awesome. Your passion comes through in like everything that you talk about, your passion comes through. And we've had a lot of conversations about things that we overlap on. And one thing I just appreciate is that, you know, you're jazzed about all this stuff, but you never hype this stuff. It's not like you're like trying to sell the sizzle and not the steak. It's pretty right. much that you're always selling the steak, you know, and it's a damn good steak. So you've been in this for a long time. You're a real student of the game, and just your willingness to put it out there that you're learning from your clients. You're not high up top a mountain with all the answers. I think that really right. is a testament to what really has been part of your process and methodology that you're bringing to your clients. Let's talk more about what you mean in this Social Jack movement that you're building. Like, you came up with this idea. It's actually been running much longer than I thought it was. The last time we spoke, you'd mentioned that it's been going on for what? How long has Social Jack been a thing now?
Well, you know, it's crazy because, you know, I don't know if we're going to go to the life story, but it started when I was 14. But
no, actually, I want to go there.
Do you want to hear that?
No, I do want to go there again. But just to start with, you know, when the first time I saw Social Jack, I think we were in Chicago.
We were doing a live broadcast. Yeah, because we have a broadcast channel.
So I was like, shoot, Dean's got a new thing. This is cool. But when we last spoke, you told me that it's actually been around a lot longer. So tell me the quick genesis of it, and then let's dig deeper about how that formulated, because I think that's a great story.
Yeah, so it's been in its maturity with the sort of the 15 social selling modules and our 15 career modules. We probably a good five years in the maturity of the core curriculum and the methodology of what we call micro learning, the way that we learn today, where it's based on the learner's pace, not necessarily the way we want to teach them, but it's the way they need to learn to progress themselves. So we have a whole micro learning system. We didn't even know we were doing micro learning when we started building it. We just said we need to be flexible, dynamic, and everybody's at a different level, and we need to teach them social selling. And so we carved out social selling, and we came up with a really good system around social teaming, which I'll tell you the evolution about that in a minute. And then we were like, well, look, the same premise for somebody being a top producer, and we studied actually for several decades the pattern of top producers, the pattern of top business owners, and the pattern of high achievers in the workplace, people that really advanced in their career. Why is this person moving and this person not? And it was based on their ability to connect, develop rapport and relationships within their sphere of influence, with them understanding that they were continuously upgrading this team, you know, and so basically upregulating. And so, you know, so we went into universities and we tested it. We actually took the career module, went into high schools and tested it. And then we're like, well, we're going to start charging for this thing because, you know, we have like an 82% placement rate and this stuff works. So I built some grad school curriculum, and I was, you know, it was funny because I never really wanted to be a professor, but I'm like, yeah, I sort of want to be a professor just so I can say I was an adjunct professor. But I'm sorry to all my professors out there, the pay isn't all that great.
And the funny thing about that is I did one semester as an adjunct professor, and I got to tell you, the fact that I've been running an agency for 5 years, people barely bat an eye at that, but I told people that I was an adjunct professor, and they were like, ooh. I'm like, it doesn't pay shit. Like, you have to come up with all of your own curriculum and everything. And even when you do, you have to fit into the academia rules and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
but that was the thing. I think everyone thought all of a sudden I'd be with the jackets with the patched elbows and have a monocle or something. But they were more impressed by that.
Well, I do have a jacket. Just to be clear, I do have a jacket with patched elbows. I don't wear it. I just have it.
Well, obviously, they give them out to everybody once you become a professor. So it's clear.
But I'll tell you what, I loved it. I loved the experience. I love changing the lives and watching because there's a limiting belief in grad school that, you know, when I'm done with grad school, I'm going to get the promotion. I'm going to get the next job. I'm going to get hired to this level. I'm going to build this business. And I said, well, why do we have that limiting belief? And so our class was about you wiring and building your social team while you're in grad school. And we had within 8 weeks, many of our students advance their career right within that 8 weeks while they were in grad school. Cause they're like, well, my head's down on this and I'm working this job and I'm going to grad school. I don't have time to do one more thing. And I said, well, we're not having you do that much. We're having you just become we want the internet and the people around you to know what your intention is and where you're going. So let's, you know, build some good profiles stating this is where I'm at, this is where I'm going, and, you know, I'm going to grad school, and build some people to help you get to the next level. And it sounds super simple, but we plugged them into, you know, what we call hubs, like the alumni, and we plugged them into other people within their family and just opened their eyes to the fact like, wow, I didn't think I could talk about this until I was done with my degree. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's this epidemic in America where, I'm not an MBA. So I was like, I didn't know people thought this way. I just, when I want to go somewhere, I just go. I collect people and I go,
Such an entrepreneurial spirit. That's like that's the move that you make when, now I have an MBA, but like I really think that that's not what has allowed me to keep the agency alive for this 5 years. I think it's been more just that inner drive that if I'm going to go somewhere, much like you, I try and find the people that I know can help me do that, where I can leverage their best talents and we can all win. So yeah, I'm with that. I'm with that whole thing. So you've put, a real process behind this social selling idea. And Social Jack, I know, when we've talked about this whole social teaming, the idea of teaming, it's in collaboration, it's in sales, it's in marketing. It kind of extends across all these things. So you've put this whole curriculum together. You've got this whole micro learning way of doing things. But I want to pause on that and just quick rewind. So our listeners on this show are all different types of people. We have a lot of solopreneurs, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and a lot of them are used to thinking that social media and the internet in general is the domain of those kids, air quotes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm 36 and I walk into the room sometimes and people are like, oh, he's just a kid. And for those of you listening, if you have never seen Dean's face, Dean's a few years older than me. And, I
And I'm
think
still just a kid, just so
still
we're
just a
clear.
kid. And, I think there's this pervasive notion out there that social media and internet marketing and all of that is really much more for the young people. But you have had a strong career and you've been able to, over, a multitude of years, really establish yourself as knowing exactly what the hell you're doing and develop training materials around it. Where did this all start for you? Because you obviously haven't been in internet marketing your entire life. So how were you able to pivot into this and so effectively transition to doing this as what you do?
Excellent question. So I think it's I know it's a couple of key elements. So I grew up in a in sort of a lower middle class area of Northwest Indiana that it was what my dad had remarried. It was what my parents could afford as they remarried. My mom was a school teacher, and so and I saw them working hard, and they actually were doing some network marketing in the evenings, some Shaklee food supplements and stuff. And I'm like, wow, they're networking. We're having people over to the house, and they're generating new sales. And we had this small house, and then we'd have like a brand new car in the driveway, and then they'd be going on trips. And my friends are like, are your parents dealing drugs? I said, no, they're dealing vitamins, and they're just selling really well, and they're networking. And so I grew up with that from like, 11, 12, 13 years old. And then they always, their treat for the family was we'd go to this fine dine restaurant every Saturday night called Freddy's Steakhouse. It's still there. Amazing place. But I noticed there that it was all business people and stuff like that. But you dressed up, you went there. It was a fine dine restaurant. And what was interesting is I got a job there. Actually, I got a job there at 14, and technically, I shouldn't have been working until I was 15. You needed a work permit back then. I don't know if that's still the case. But they're like, well, yeah, Dean, your parents are regulars. Just come in. Don't say anything. If anybody asks you, you're working here. Boom, we'll put you on the clock. We'll change these records. And I was like, wow, because we know Freddie, boom, I got myself a job. It was like, we're connected. It's like I got hooked up, and so it was pretty cool. And then as I'm working there, I'm like working the lunch hour, and I'm watching these business guys and politicians, and I'm watching relationships, and I learned about how people were able to move ahead or further things. As I absorbed this, I was like, wow, I want to move ahead too. So next thing you know, I'm helping Freddie out. I know he has a yacht. I would always go, man, I want to be on that yacht, And so I was like, hey, can I help you out, on the boat or anything like that? Yeah, come on down. We'll, you can help us, clean up and do all this other stuff. And next thing you know, I'm like, and he goes, yeah, and bring a change of clothes. We'll go out afterwards. And next thing you know, I became part of the yacht club group, And I was like, wow, here's this guy, lower middle class, because of who I knew. And I asserted myself into that network. I was like, next thing you know, I've got limo car companies that are loaning me limos to go out on dates for my, you know, in middle school, you know, high school. I've got like odd jobs, side jobs, you know, where I'm making cash money, extra cash money. And I was like, wow, this is cool. So I, you know, one of the big clients that had come in, it was my sophomore year in college. I was going to Purdue at the time. He comes in and he's the CEO of Merrill Lynch. Now, we're in Northwest Indiana, but he lives down there in a big house. And he's like, man, you know, I need some help with throwing a party. So I said, well, we're in catering. I'll come down and take care of all your needs. So after about a few months of throwing parties, and this was when computers were really starting to catch on. And I'm going to school for hotel restaurant management, but I'm really digging anything to do with technology. It just sort of caught me, you know, the advancement. And so one night we're cleaning up after one of his parties. It's literally like 3 a.m, 4 a.m. I'm partying with the CEO of Merrill Lynch. It's just us two. And he's like, everybody else had gone home. And I'm like, Mr. Bradley, what would it take if I wanted to work downtown at the Board of Trade with all those computers and you guys down there? What would it, you know, what would I change in my curriculum? I really think I want to do that. He's like, Dean, I like you. I trust you. You can start in 2 weeks. So I go from bussing tables, being in hotel restaurant management, to making like 25 grand a year, which, you know, in the early 80s was a lot of money for a base starting salary with no college degree. And put me on midnights, put me in IBM school. I learned mainframes and telecommunications, and boom, I was into the next level of you know, the tech boom. And then I was there for about 3 years and then started some companies, but I continued to network to my desired destination. I still wanted to be a restaurant owner, but I knew I wanted to be a business owner, right? That was the under desire. I wanted to control my destination. So I kept networking. I would connect with professors. My first company, I partnered with one of my professors, you know, and got accounts and, you know, and so I just continued being that person of generating a team around me that could help me get to that next desired level, to the point where during the dot-com era, within my network of friends and close people, I raised $5 million and we generated a $100 million company in 18 months, you know. It just blows me away that, like, as I talk about this, like, I'm like, man, I've always done it that way. But how many people don't?
Hey, everyone. My apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today, I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM. And I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different, because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM.
So one thing I want to back up to, though, because I think this is an interesting point, I want to make sure that we don't skip over it. So you've told me about this genesis of how you kind of got from point A to point B with the CEO of Merrill Lynch. And I remember from the first time you told me about it that there was a key thing that stuck out. And one of the things that it was a point that that really resonated with me, because it could easily be taken as it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? But the guy from Merrill Lynch didn't just let you have that mainly because he liked you. Exactly. It's not exactly social Jack.
It's all about who you know.
It's all about who you know. But I mean, it's a lot of people could take it to be that, you know, you could be an idiot and just know the right people and get ahead. And to a certain extent in life, that is true. But in your case, it wasn't that you were just an idiot that, you know, bust tables or whatever. What I remember from the first time you told me is that he actually called out something very specific about you, and it was your work ethic.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And yeah, and he said, you have a great work ethic and I trust you.
Yep. So I think those are really the two most important points of it, because I think it can get lost in the shuffle that, you know, everybody's always looking for the silver bullet. They're always looking for, you know, the magic wand to wave over their situation. But in what right. You're talking about not just knowing people and networking your way to the top by knowing people, but it's also about having the value to deliver through your work ethic and through being trusted by delivering consistently, that puts you in a position that when you do make those connections, that you're a valuable person to add to that team. And I think that that's right. an important point to underscore, that in the midst of all of the people that want to try and network their way at the top, you also have to focus on improving yourself. And you know, you were already working and fascinated with computers while trying to get a degree in hotel management. So I think that's a really important point, is that that's part of the way yeah. the way you got there.
And it was my desire to shift and embrace my fear to go toward the unknown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's important too, because, you know, one of the modules that we have is about fear. And I see people, you know, I could do a whole 2 hours on this part, but it's like I see people wanting to be alone and figure it out, especially a lot of my entrepreneurs, like, okay, it's my thing. I'm going to be in the laboratory and I'm going to pop out and it'll be an amazing thing. And then everyone will flock to buy it. Right?
Guilty as charged. Sort of,
yeah, right. And I'm like, no, why don't you, as you get the idea, start building a team to help you, you know, mature the idea at that moment, you know, not like friends with opinions, but I mean like people that are highly talented that can help you so that when you do have it matured or even partially matured, you can begin to get to market and generate revenue. And it always seems like such an easy process to me, but I can't tell you the number of even clients that walk up to us and go, okay, I'm ready. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, and I've done this myself. And it's like, holy smokes, I could have launched this 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, like the original idea. But sometimes we operate alone and we're like, oh yeah, wow, I could just test this right now and go to people that I trust and I know and let's make a business out of this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, as you said, there's a lot of startups and young companies, and I just want to tell them, don't operate alone and just be with us in this podcast, but start building a team right now to empower you. I mean, everybody cares about people at a certain level, and let's empower each other to help each other, right?
So let's actually push on that point then. Let's talk about this idea of social teaming, because I've heard it talked about in a lot of other different ways. You know, collaboration is probably the most ubiquitously used, and then there's networking. And what you're talking about in social teaming is, I think, a little bit larger or more broadly defined than that. So talk a little bit about what you mean when you say social teaming.
Yeah. So the spirit of the social teaming is I'm an old sports guy and, you know, I have two bad knees and no, you know, extra scholarships or, you know, Major League Baseball or football career or anything like that. But what I did is, for over three decades, I studied championship sports teams, and failing sports teams, championship companies and failing companies, and championship top producing salespeople and failing salespeople. And I said, you know, and I looked at the differentiator. And so let's take it back to the teams. And so what's your favorite sport that you follow?
God, that's a tough one. Favorite to play basketball? Well, let's call it football, because football is my favorite. Yeah, so it basically takes over my life starting, what was it, last two Thursdays ago?
Right on. And so back in the 85 Bears, I was fortunate enough to go into the war room and during the 80s and go into the Bears war room and understand how they were structuring the next team. Now, they had succeeded at that point and they would fail going forward. But I wanted to understand the scouting system. Like how do they determine based on their current team that this team won't last forever? How do we continue to build for the next championship, right? And I did that with the Bulls and the Hawks and the Cubs and the Sox. And, you know, it's only taken 35 years since then for the Cubs to, you know, hopefully get closer. So, and I'm a Cubs fan, so I can say that. But as I watch even like this year with the Cubs and the way that they drafted and scouted, I said, maybe there's a fun way we can do this for sales. Maybe there's a fun way we can do this for corporate America, because a lot of people go to their job and it's like, oh, I'm going to work. I'm not going into a network to further my career and collaborate with a bunch of people and network and build a team to be the one of the champions within this organization. And so even people in sales are fairly isolated as top producers, believing they have to, because I did CRM for 10 years, so I saw this firsthand. I'm like, man, if they just connected to a couple of people around them, they would close 10 times more with 1/10 the effort. You know, it's leverage. It's we can all pick up something together easier than one person doing it by themselves. So I said, well, let's just play around with this. So over studies over the decades, I'm like, well, what is the ideal team size? So I said, you know, after studies and studies and studies, and I have a ton of evidence on this, it was like the number 40 came up. And I said, okay, how would I break this up into a team? I'm a football guy, basketball guy, you know, wrestling, you know, I got all these sports behind me. And so I said, well, let's take the basketball model. The best top five people in here would be my starters. Right. So they're the guys that I, you know, the people that I count on, and they'll help get to me to this championship. But every team doesn't do it with just starters. You got to have a bench. So then I made the next top 10 people the bench. I was like, all right, these are bench players. So when the starters are injured or not playing, you know, or can't play, or they're not performing, then the bench is going to pick them up. Right. They're going to back them up. And then I have sort of this training squad, and the rest of my roster is the other 25 that are part of the team, but they're not necessarily elevating. So I said, okay, so that's a base team. So we simply have people put together their core team, but this is a current team. And some teams today, as even football teams as we sit here, are on their way, and you can see them. They have a championship team assembled, and you can see a path to the Super Bowl for them or even the playoffs, right? And some teams, I won't mention the Bears in this, don't have that path just yet. You know, they have maybe some of their players get injured and they have to go down to the farm team or they go on injured reserve. But the scouts never stop scouting. That was the one thing I thought was amazing. And I go, well, if I'm truly committed to building a better team all the time, and I minimally am conscious about meeting people because I'm out selling and I'm networking, let's just call that scouting. I'm scouting. I'm not networking. I'm scouting for another starter. So I'm scouting for starters to get me to my championship. Each and every time I meet somebody, and if you're not a starter or a good bench player, you're going to go in my database. But we only have time for so many relationships. So then I'm like, okay, yeah, so we're constantly scouting for starters. And guess what? Every day is draft day. So as you look at the people that you're scouting, you sit back and you maybe pick one or none per day that you draft, and you play that player to help you move to the next level of your championship.
I like all the sports analogies. This is working for me.
I could tell you're nodding.
Yeah, I'm like, this will do it. Well, I mean, I think one of the big things that's challenging for people in business is, I think even great ideas, the terminology can change people's relationship to it. So for instance, sales is a word, or selling, that's a word, or those are words that make people feel a certain way based on experience they've had in their lives. But if you talk to people about solving problems, if you said, like, you know, what if you could solve somebody else's problems? Everybody likes to solve somebody's problems. It makes them feel smart. It makes them feel valuable. And you're saying, well, what if people paid you to solve those problems? They're like, well, okay, cool, yeah. Well, that's sales. That's all sales is, really, is you're being paid to provide a solution to somebody else's problem. So in the same way, I think the way that you're talking about networking and building a team, at least through the lens of sports, and I know especially for some of our more competitive listeners or sports interested listeners, it's a great series of terms to use and helps to make it feel more like a game rather than a chore. Because I know for me, the word networking has begun to take on a certain icky kind of feeling.
Yeah. And so the premise of Social Jack, you know, as I was holding up my card, you know, it's all about who you know. And it says learn fast, build fast, win fast. And the goal is it doesn't have to take a lot of effort to create movement toward the championship. And this may be, you know, a lot of people say, well, this is our rebuilding year. But you know what? We can win along the way. We don't have to lose all of our games in a rebuilding year. We can be conscious and keep moving toward the prize, toward the championship. And so we insert gamification in our courses. The mobile app has some scoring and gamification that we're building in there. You actually score your network based on relationship and rapport. So, you know, my goal is that if you and I are at a level 2 or 3 in our relationship, my goal is not to sell to you, but it's to get the relationship to a level 5. Because I know you're a good starter. We know the traits of what a good team member looks like together. And as long as the relationship is there, that means you're really going to know what I do and who I am. And if our networks are really good for each other, we're not even going to think twice about flipping referrals back and forth to each other. And that referral machine will rock and roll from that effort alone. When people get even a partially good team together, their inbox just starts to fill up. And as their relationship scores go up, all of a sudden unsolicited business comes in the door. They didn't even have to dial out, you know?
Yeah, it's there's a couple of methodologies that I think I've heard about that, you know, elements of this remind me of. If you're familiar with Michael Port's book, Yourself Solid, that's one where he's got a similar sort of kind of breaking things down into process. And I think anytime you can do that for people, it's super helpful for them, because I think sales is something that only comes natural to you if you own your own business and you're doing it to survive, because then it's not natural, but the survival instinct kicks it into being natural. Otherwise, I think that's something that's very challenging for people. And especially when it comes to networking, I think as social creatures, we're very accustomed to connecting with the people around us, building social circles, but we don't do it very deliberately all that often, especially how it relates to achieving the goals that we want in our lives, in our business, in our personal lives, things like that. So, you know, I appreciate that you've done the work to put together a system. Let me ask you this, you know, are there any sort of starting points that you would recommend anybody listening here that could get them one step closer? Because I'm sure, you know, just jumping into the deep waters of a Social Jack system or anything like that might be daunting to someone. So make it seem more approachable to them. What are some things that you might recommend early on to someone if they're looking to get to a particular place in their career where you might suggest that they start by doing X?
Well, I'll tell you what, the easiest thing is go get the free version of at socialjack.com, because you get access to the same corporate sales structure that our corporate clients are buying, at least, you know, the way we have it framed out right now. And just start with module 1. It's about fundamentals of understanding how this works and why it's important. And you know, we work with folks on that, because there's two things that stand in the way of this being successful. Because I could tell you, well, go start building the first 5 members of your team. But if there's no context, you're you know, it's going to be like, well, so now what, right? Or what does a team member look like? So there's a little bit of a premise there. But the easiest things I can tell you is embrace your fear. So everybody has a fear of why they're not doing something, why they're not logging into LinkedIn or they're not tweeting. There's usually 5 general fears, but I want
clowns,
people to,
snakes, yeah. Spiders, sharks, and
elephants.
Elephants, yes,
yeah, elephants with torpedoes. It's a whole thing.
Sharks so, with laser beams,
right? So, but you know, it's like face those fears and get real about it, because at the end of the day, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, they're nothing more than big networking events. There's people there. They're networking events. As long as you, you know, are credible and respectable and responsible, and you really just have the intent to build relationships and meet people, change your mindset to think that way. I mean, you know, when we're doing our course and we just give people that little nugget, it's almost that comforting, like, oh, okay. There's just people there. It's just an event. And you know what's cool? People that are even less social or non-social, it's a place where they can go to be an event and they don't really have to like dress up and worry about, you know, having a conversation, what they're going to say at that moment. Now we teach them what to say online, but the first thing is treat your network like it's an event. And you know, what we do, we taught this for, geez, we used to teach people how to work trade shows and events for a number of years. What we would tell people is when you go to an event, already know who you're going to meet. Who's your ideal target? So if you were going to pick somebody, you know, if you're in sales or you're a business owner or whoever you are, what would an ideal team member look like? And go to the event and talk to that person. So when you log into LinkedIn or Facebook, you don't have to talk to all 300 million people. You don't have to talk to everybody on your newsfeed. Pick the one.
Yep.
Pick the one person at the party and talk to that person and start building a relationship.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's classic advice, and more often than not, people don't take that advice. But we say the same thing in marketing when we're building personas. We say the same thing in sales when we're trying to know more about our prospect before we get to talking to them. And I don't know if you know this, but I have a side business where we provide online dating consulting, because online dating is just like online marketing. So in the same way, we tell people to be aware of who they're looking to meet, so that when they meet them, they can kind of assess the criteria of what it is that they're looking for. So it's kind of it's right there, and we see it in all of the different facets of how we go about things, and yet we rarely, I think, follow through on it. Let me ask you a couple questions before we go. I know we're running short on time, but I wanted to pick your brain.
Time flies when we're together.
It really does. Like, I could sit and chat with you for hours on end, so, you know, I'm definitely going to have you back on and talk about more stuff, but let me just quickly ask your perspective on what you're seeing in the social space right now. So, you know, we run into each other at conference after conference, and we see these different speakers, and, you know, we both have an affinity for the Social Media Strategy Summit because of the way they present things and the amazing speakers, but, you know, when I look out at the web and I see what social was when I started and what it is now, I feel like the dream didn't quite come true. It's not terrible, but it certainly isn't what I thought it was going to be. What's your assessment of where we are and maybe where we're going in the near future? Just as a kind of point for us to wrap on, I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, great question. So it's basically I actually did predict this like 8 years ago when we were first dabbling in things, 8 or 9 years ago. But I said, you know, because I saw this massive rush of everyone had to have like 10,000 connections and all these people, we got to all be connected. And now I believe in my heart of hearts, just like the ID40 with social jack teaming, is that it's going to get smaller. That, and I already see it. I see it with our school programs. I see it in corporate America, that people are gonna pull back and really hinge on their core team, the people around them, whatever they call it. You know, we happen to call it social teaming, but I'm seeing this with our Fortune 500 clients. I'm seeing it with our small businesses, and we're gonna focus more on less people, but trusting more. Where right now we have so many people, we don't trust anybody. You know what I mean? There's this, you know, whole guarded business. And how can you move forward if you're pulling back all the time?
Yeah.
It's just not possible. It's just, you know, what was it? Isaac Newton came up with somebody. One of the smart guys came up with that. But you can't do it.
Yep. I call it the universal law of everything, expansion and contraction. We do a thing and then it expands. And then we realize it got too big, so we shrink it back down. And then it starts to grow organically again, and expansion and contraction. So great minds think alike. I've written a couple things that, you know, were so big, we've gotten small. And it's to that very point where you start to get overwhelmed by the noise, and you need to turn back to people that you want to talk to and that you trust. So I'm glad that we share that vision. Dean, I would have you back on anytime you want to come, anytime you've got time. But tell the people that have just been introduced to you for the first time on this podcast where they can go and be social with you and learn more about you, Social Jack, Forward Progress, and everything else you're up to.
Yeah, just go to socialjack.com, socialjack.com. While we have it up there, get the free account and really dig in. There's start at lesson one and go all the way through. I have clients that pay us thousands of dollars to go through this program, and we make it available because we do want to help every person. And my only ask about that is, if you come through and do the free program and whatever point that you do and what you learned or what you've learned here today, we just ask that you teach it to somebody else. Help somebody else understand, because I really believe that we have an epidemic where people are operating alone and it's affecting our society, and people are being fake on the internet. And I want real people to have real teams to get real results and just be real together. And so once you learn it, teach it to somebody else. That's my only ask, and I'll provide it as free as I can afford to.
As free as possible. Yes. Well, awesome. Dean, you're a great dude. Thank you so much for being on the call with me, and thanks for doing a round two of this with me. I hope it was as wonderful in your mind on the second go round as it was for me. So we'll have you back on, and for everybody out there listening, I appreciate your continued support, and if you keep listening, I'll keep getting amazing guests. Promise.
Right on, man.
You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast, and you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.